were talking about the Spotlight programme last night and the revelations involved in that programme and the investigation into expenses and the investigation revealing that Sinn Féin had paid rent to three different cultural societies, including the rent for the Deputy First Minister, and also looked at the DUP offices in Ballymena and Fermanagh, raising questions over transparency. As was saying, Peter Weir, the DUP MLA, joins us this morning. Peter Weir... We've been talking this morning, and you mentioned, and we heard the clip a little bit earlier, saying, you know, that you feel this is down to the fault of the system, and the system is dysfunctional. But, you know, we're making the point that there's a responsibility that MLAs here don't necessarily then have to exploit the dysfunctionality of the system. And, you know, a lot of what people will have watched last night will lead them to think that that's exactly what some of them are doing.
Well, I think sort of what... I mean, I wouldn't take everything I heard last night as gospel. However, I think that what we did see last night will raise major public concerns. It's our belief that what we need to see is a restoration of public confidence. I think there was a number of steps taken 3 or 4 years ago which did tighten up the system. Clearly, I don't think ultimately those have gone far enough. And it's our belief that we need a sort of a Westminster-style IPSA system, which is essentially an entirely independent office, which then has a sort of a much more hands-on direct role in terms of in terms of both audit and, agreeing whether particular expenses are cleared or not. And I think at the moment there isn't probably enough of a clear blue water, and there does need to be reform of the system.
So in terms of this office of Ballymena, in terms of your party, two MLAs claiming the expenses for the rent, which is valued roughly at about 22,000-23,000, that they're claiming just short of that. Then there's another claim from the MP for the area, Ian Paisley, via the Westminster expenses for about 14 grand. I mean, how does that add up? How does that work?
Well, I was involved, I think, 2 or 3 years ago whenever the Assembly did take a look overall at office costs. Independent valuations were got across the board. There was a feeling, actually, that a lot of those independent valuations were actually at too low a level in that regard. So there's a degree of dispute over those figures. Specifically as regards Ballymena, I know that Ian Paisley Jr. has indicated he has got an independent valuation as well, which would indicate that the figure should be considerably higher and in and around what is being paid in terms of rent. So there's a degree of dispute in relation to that. But, you know, you can pick out individual cases. I think there's a systemic problem with this, and that is why I think we need to change the system. And I think that what we've got there is not fit for purpose in that regard. We have entirely sort of obeyed the rules throughout. And when you're getting people who entirely obey the rules and there are still problems, then that suggests that the system or indeed the rules are not quite adequate.
So it's you're quite happy. I mean, the other instance in terms of I think it was Arlene Foster was mentioned, where she was renting property from a landlord and she'd already previously bought property from the same person. I mean,
well, it was you had a relatively small premise. I mean, that's one of the things I have to say I find weakest and most bizarre about last night. I mean, a lot of the complaint was essentially because of what is, you know, rightly or wrongly, because it's difficult to make an individual judgment in cases on it, about the potential misuse of public money. Here was a situation actually where a service was being provided to the public in a situation in which there was no rent being charged, there was no charge to the public purse, and yet there's a fault picked with that. You know, I would have thought if people were willing to help out by providing things rent-free and actually ensure that the public purse wasn't lent on, you know, I would have thought that actually would be something that would be advantageous on it. But, you know, again, with an
I think the point was that it's who the landlord was and that there was a previous business relationship.
Well, in relation to that, maybe that in terms of that maybe something should have been declared somewhere down the line, and it was actually in that regard. But the level of declaration is such on it. I mean, you saw the property itself. It was a very small sort of outlying office in that regard, which was at a level which I think in terms of level of donation was very small in terms of the rental side of it.
But do you think all MLAs are declaring the interest that actually they should be declaring? That I mean, because that's a bigger point here.
In terms of declaration, the way to therefore solve this problem in relation to that, I mean, first of all, if somebody is in breach of the rules, then they need to be brought up for that. You know, but the reality is that is the scrutiny there as good as it should be? Is there actually a better system of scrutiny? And we found actually at Westminster, where I think overall there were a lot more problems actually a few years ago at Westminster than there have ever been in the Assembly or anywhere else on it. They moved to a system, an IPSA-type system, which we went part of the way towards but didn't go, I think, the full hog. And whereas there's been some complaints in relation to the IPSAS system, it actually, generally speaking, has been one that has worked out. And we think that that is the appropriate model for Stormont. You know, we need to ensure that as we move forward that actually that there is that proper level of scrutiny and proper level of accountability in that regard. I mean, a lot of the issues which seem to have been thrown up, I think, to be fair, across probably both the problems, programmes, right, our issues actually which rose quite a number of years ago.
You also brought up the thing where you think that, you know, the cost of what is adequate cost of rent, you feel that that's maybe not necessarily accurate. So, I mean, for example, what do you claim for your office? What is a fair figure, do you think?
I'm in Bangor. I would have a smaller office. That it's one that I would simply use myself, and I think the rental figure is around about £7,000.
So you're within that 5,000 to 8,000.
The whole point, Joel, in relation to office rentals, and I think this is where, again, sometimes we start actually looking at the wrong question and therefore getting the wrong answer in that regard. Across Northern Ireland, you know, the idea that you can simply have a one-size-fits-all in terms of cost for rental, you know, you're dependent upon, in any one particular area, what is available and what the going rate within an area is. So, for example...
So you think having, like, a broad-brush figure of 5,000 to 8,000 is inappropriate?
I think, first of all, it's probably, for a lot of people, that would be at a level which is too low to rent. And then, certainly if you're in Belfast, I think you have grave difficulty getting somewhere of any sort of reasonable sort of office for anywhere near that sort of money. The problem is you're not an MLA or indeed any MP or any public representative is not simply like another business. Because if you're another business, if you look at whatever rental is available in your particular location, as an MLA, you're restricted probably in most cases to a handful of streets within your constituency because you need somewhere that is very publicly accessible and very publicly available. You can't simply go down into an upstairs room in a back alley somewhere. You can't, if you find in your constituency, if I don't find somewhere that's appropriate in Bangor, if I was a business person, say, well, look, if I can't rent somewhere in Bangor, I'll simply go to Newton Ards or I'll simply go to Belfast or I'll go to wherever. You know, you're very much restricted within that.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the size of the office we saw last night. I know he's not one of your party colleagues, you know, but Ross Hussey, 20 grand of the office. I mean, is that too much?
I think that probably, from that point of view, may well be excessive. I'm loath to comment on individual cases.
What did you make of the Sinn Féin arrangement in terms of the cultural societies?
Well, I think that would cause me concern. I think that is something which needs to be probed in terms of the...
Why would that cause you any more concern than what's happening in Ballymena?
Well, with respect on it, I mean, I think we see a situation that a certain amount is getting paid, but the answer in one sense to both is the same. We had a situation with Sinn Féin in terms of their payments, in terms of research, which I suspect they will come up in the second programme, which was felt to be of a nature that was arrangements, which in terms of transparency were inappropriate, and the Assembly then changed the rules in relation to that. I think there is an issue in terms of that in sorting all this out, you need to come down to actually a situation in which you have a clear-cut IPSA-type body who will actually then decree on the individual circumstances. I think is something which, the independent panel can do what it does, and I think sometimes it gets it right, sometimes it gets it wrong.
Let me bring Francie Molloy in here, because you've been waiting patiently, the Sinn Féin MP. I appreciate your time this morning. That's the DUP MLA Peter Weir. Francie Molloy, here's the charge then. You know, this isn't transparent enough, and there is some sort of dark reason why this money, this rent, is being paid to a cultural society. So lay it out on the line this morning for those people listening that watched the programme last night and are concerned about this and have perhaps questions that they feel they need answers to. Why are you paying this rent to cultural societies?
Well, first of all, let's deal with the facts, not perception, because that's what all that matters in this situation. As you know yourself, the Sinn Féin or any other political party could rent accommodation out of their own party if they wanted to do that. You know, you could have a building and you could rent that to their members. So there's nothing in the regulations or rules that stops it. So why would we go into any sort of a convoluted way of doing it? Because there's no benefit to Sinn Féin in this. There's no rent paid to Sinn Féin. There's no rent paid to Barry Murphy. There's no rent paid to the trustees. it's paid to the society.
Right, and what does the society then use that money for?
Well, in the Gulladuff situation, it's very clear. If Mandy had have took the time of coming into the building any night and actually looked around, she'd have seen it was fully used by various different groups, Irish dancers, Irish language enthusiasts, the different sort of sporting organisations, various different ways that the community uses it. And particularly the community uses it after a funeral, for instance, in the local area. They will come back there for a cup of tea or a bowl of soup, and in that way provide for the local community a base where there wasn't anything before that.
But are those cultural societies not able to apply for public money in other ways anyway, as opposed to taking public money effectively that's coming from your rent?
No, it's not taking public money. We're renting accommodation. We're renting office space within that building. I think it's very good use of our rent that we are paying. That money is not for profit. It's not going into a profit organisation. It's not going into an absentee landlord. It's going into a building which is then providing for the community that it serves and within that area. So that's good use. No, this is a social economy business, really. And it's actually providing back into the economy. It's putting back in for the facilities for the local people and good uses for the public people.
And yet one of the trustees tells the programme that he knows nothing about it.
Well, one of the trustees, as I say, the trustee was appointed some time ago. He is part of these raises. He said last night he's part of a different organisation now, and that's what he's entitled to do. He's an absentee trustee in that sense. But you know,
he says he knew nothing about it at any time.
Well, you know, he was a trustee. He was signed up as a trustee. Obviously, he was working within it. Originally, what Mickey McGonigal was talking about was when he talked about buying the office. This office wasn't bought, or this building wasn't bought. The old building, the old hall was bought, and then it was demolished and a new building put in place with a new management group put in place to actually build that and to build it for the community. The main issue was that it was for the community and the community users. So I think that's good use. Instead of just being an office space where you would actually have a 9-to-5 accommodation, here you have a building which is open to the community, it's open to the public. And as I say, if Mandy had come in any night, she would actually have seen the community use of that. Several nights, every room in the building would be used. Other nights, one or two rooms would be used.
So in terms of these specific cases of payments through these cultural societies, you're effectively saying, nothing to see here, move on, nothing to hide.
Yes, totally. And and also on the lines that...
What about in terms of the issue of... And it wasn't just... for your party in this instance, the issue of, you know, those who are signing electoral papers, and Martin McGuinness was mentioned, and you said earlier this morning on BBC Radio Ulster, the same gentleman who was the secretary of one of the cultural and historical societies also signed your papers.
Yes.
And people who will say, well, you know, that's a bit of a close relationship between someone who's the secretary of a society to which you're paying the rent for an office is actually also signing your election papers. That's a bit too close. That's a conflict of interest.
As I explained this morning, you're living in a Republican area. Everyone who is around that cultural society is Republicans.
Yes, but they're not all secretaries of the organisation that you're paying your office rent to.
No, but the office rent has been paid to the society. Barry Murphy doesn't gain anything from the rent that's been paid. Neither does Sinn Féin gain anything from the rent that's been paid.
No, but it's the closeness of that relationship is the thing that people are talking about.
No, but it'd be like me going out and asking, you know, a footballer to sign my nomination papers or to be my election agent. They have another life as well as being involved in Sinn Féin and working for Sinn Féin. There's nothing wrong with that. And if we get into a situation where you have to vet the people who actually sign your papers or there's some particular... issue around that there, I think we're getting into very dangerous lines.
You see, what about what Seamus Close says on the programme last night? You know, that there's this culture of the money's there, if you don't spend it, you're mad, and, you know, just because the system is dysfunctional, you might dispute whether you feel the system is dysfunctional or not, but when Peter Weir says that, you know, a lot of people will look at it, and as I've said many times already this morning, they'll look at it and they'll say, well, some of the MLAs, they're just exploiting the fact that the system actually is dysfunctional.
Well, I don't take the Seamus Close's line at all. One of the things that we have been very clear from the start is, you know, our members, our MLAs, don't take the full salary. They take a normal industrial wage. We also don't employ, the MLA doesn't employ any member of the family. The Lions Party do employ members of their families to work in their offices. And if we're looking about transparency and openness, then maybe we should deal with all of this whole situation. And we will comply with any new regulations that are brought in. We have no problem with that whatsoever. And in the declaration of societies and who are the members of those societies, we have no problem with that whatsoever. We pay our rent within the rules. The same way as the Conservative and Labour Party in England pay the rent for their premises. In some cases, within the Conservative or Labour Party in England, they also pay rent to the party because the party owns the building.
And in terms of those cultural societies, do you have any say over where that money then goes or how they spend that money? What do they do with the money?
Well, I've told you what they do with the situation.
These are all community-based projects.
They're community-based projects. They're providing for the community and providing a facility where there was no facility there before. We have nothing to say. It's the same as us paying the rent to a land agent or an estate agent or whatever the case may be. So we have nothing to say as regards how they spend that money in the future. And it's quite clear that they spend that money to provide a facility, a good facility, in the area for the local community. We also...
So you're saying this morning that you see that as a contribution, a financial contribution, to what goes on in those communities as opposed to giving it to a landlord?
Yes, I think it's a better situation because it's not some landlord that's renting out buildings and actually then using that money for their own use and for private use. What we have here is a social economy business, not for profit, returning the money that's paid in rent for whatever the case may be back into the community, serving the community, providing the community.
And you're happy you've made all the checks and you're more than happy with how all of that money has ever been spent?
Well, we're happier with the situation there than we are if we were paying into a landlord who's just simply making profit out of a building. And one of the things we're also happy is that we provide a good constituency service right across Mid-Ulster. And it provides a constituency service for all the community. No, Protestant, Catholic at the centre, everyone comes through that door. They're not asked their religion.
Had you any issues with what you saw in the programme regarding, what the DUP were doing with the office in Ballymena or in terms of what was said about Arlene Foster's situation?
Well, I think, as Peter actually said earlier, you know, there was criticism because that Arlene was getting an office rent-free, and there was criticism of how much rent she was paying another one. You can't have it both ways. The one thing I think in this situation was, you know, there was a crane hired in Gulladuff to film over the premises. There was no need to do that. That was coming out of public funds. That was coming out of my licence fee that I paid to the BBC or that's paid to the BBC. So, you know, if you're actually wanting to do a community filming, then come in and talk to the people and come in and see the usage of the building. Don't go up 40 foot in the air and film it from the outside because this was trailed as a covert undercover operation, near enough, by the journalists. It was very bad journalism, I think, and there was nothing covert about it. If you have a crane sticking up in the air 40 or 50 foot and somebody filming the office, it's quite clear what they're doing. So there's nothing covert about it.
OK, Francie Molloy, thanks for that this morning. Seamus Close still with us this morning, along with Pat McCartan. And Seamus, you've heard the case for the defence. Convince you?
I think a very weak case. One point I'd like to make is that each person that you're talking to and reference to political parties and their members in the Assembly or Westminster MPs go under the title of honourable members. Honourable members. Now, if an honourable member sees that there's a systemic problem with expenses and how expenses are dealt with, does an honourable member exploit that weakness?
Well, they say that they have acted with honour and they are not being dishonourable.
Well, they refer to that maybe scrutiny is not as good as it should be. Well, if you're following your proper integrity and proper principles, and if you're an honourable member, then you wouldn't be exploiting that. You'd be drawing those weaknesses to the attention of those in charge and making sure that there's no exploitation. With regard to another one of the contributors there that was referring to the openness, etc., about the cultural clubs and the trustees, why was there a sudden rush of letters to the BBC before the programme was broadcast if there was no need for clarity? Clarification at the last moment suggests to me that there must be a weakness in the case. And again, I would also point out that whenever individual members sign forms claiming for rent or whatever it is, they say that it is exclusively in the course of their Assembly business. Now, since when did dancing funerals and cups of tea become part and parcel of an honourable member's duties as an elected representative. This is taxpayers' money. Demands openness. Demands accountability. It's costing us a lot of money. And whenever you consider that Assembly members are paid about £47,000 a year, that the expenses are around just under £70,000 a year, some of them are also getting ministerial salaries, some of them are also getting salaries of their colleagues from Westminster, why don't they consider, and why don't the powers to be consider, just paying one figure? Let's increase their salary to, say, £70,000 or £75,000 a year and let them run their own offices, their own PR machines, their secretaries, etc. out of that. It could save the taxpayer, on a quick calculation, about £4 or £5 million a year, which is about £20 to £25 million in an Assembly term. Let's see the size of the offices then.
One thing
I guarantee you, Joel, my last point, is that the service to the constituent and what the constituent is looking for are their problems solved. They're not looking for plush offices and big PR machines.
One final question to Pat McCartan, who, as we said earlier, is the chair of the Independent Review Panel body that oversees MLA pay and allowances. And people will listen to what they've heard this morning, Pat, and they'll have watched the programme last night. They'd have seen the charges that were made. They'll have listened to the MLAs today, and they're saying, you know, absolutely nothing has been done wrong. They have operated within the system, and they'll have heard their defence. You know, surely a lot of people will say, what about a full audit investigation and the MLA's expenses, and then everybody will know everything and we'll be able to make our own minds up?
Well, I'm in favour of a full audit, and that's a matter for the Controller and Auditor General for Northern Ireland. And, of course, ultimately, issues would go through to the PAC and so on as to the proper use of public monies.
Do you think this is a good time? Do you think this is a good time to do it?
Well, I certainly would welcome it. Yes, but I need to take issue with one or two things. Peter Weir did, and I agree with Peter, there is a need for a review overall, and the rules do need to be tightened up. And that's what we are currently doing, but we're only allowed to do that once in every mandate. And that means the powers of our committee do need to be reviewed, and we do need to be, like Westminster, able to intervene on a much more frequent basis to make adjustments and ensure probity. The other thing is, of course, it isn't a matter about the rules. It's a matter about the personal integrity of every member who is able to draw on public funds and what they sign for, and for them to be held accountable. And, of course, the ultimate accountability is the electorate. That's something which has been postponed now to 2016.
Okay.
So, really, this is a very live and active issue, and we've only looked at one issue around the rents, really, in some way. And I would very much urge every MLA to ensure they declare every interest, because it's quite clear that they haven't been doing that.
Pat, I have to leave it there. Sorry to rush you, but I appreciate your time this morning. That's Pat McCartan, who's the chair of the Independent Review Panel and also the former Alliance politician. Seamus Close,